name is Hannah. I'm glad that you're here with me today. I was talking with a friend of mine this morning, and I invited her to our services, and it's a little bit different. It's church in the week, Ash Wednesday. And she said, oh, I'm very interested in Ash Wednesday because I didn't grow up with it. I'm a Christian, but I never had Lent as a child. And all I really know about it is a few years ago today, I approached a coworker of mine during the day, and I said, you have some dirt on your head. And the friend laughed and said, oh, it's Ash Wednesday. So it's a good question. You know, this is kind of a funny thing. It looks funny when we go out from here with ashes on our heads. Why do we do this? Well, we've said before at the Vine that liturgy is like immersive theater. So think about that with me for a minute. We come to church, and there's a story that we're telling, right? But when you come to church, you're not just spectators in the story. You're participants in it. You know, we stand together. We kneel together. We read responsively. We're all participating in this script. We're acting out this story together with our bodies. And the ashes on our heads are one way that we get into costume in this immersive theater of the liturgy. So that raises another question for our friends and coworkers, but also, you know, a question we should be asking ourselves. What story are we telling exactly? What do the ashes on our heads mean? What does Lent mean? What is all this fasting and church going really about? And I was reflecting on that question myself, and I was struck by the fact that the story of Lent, it's not just for liturgical Christians, you know, Christians who are into this sort of thing, right? It's not even only just for religious people. The story of Lent, and especially the story of Ash Wednesday, is the story of humanity. And here's what I mean by that. We're gathering today to remind each other, remind ourselves that humans are finite and that we are flawed. We are made from dust and returning to it. And this is a story that, if we're honest, most of the time we'd rather be asleep to, right? This is not a comfortable story. So we're doing it together today in a way to help ourselves to sit with an uncomfortable truth. The human story is one that ends for every single one of us in death. This is uncomfortable. It's also really sad. We don't like sadness. But we've known sadness if we've had to bury a loved one, right? To a lesser extent, we feel this sadness about our flawed nature and where it leads us when we lash out at our children. When we do things that we're ashamed to admit, right? The sadness that Ash Wednesday brings up in us is the sadness that maybe we feel when we turn on the news and we are watching one country invade another and we feel so powerless to do anything about it, right? The sadness of the human condition. We are finite and we are flawed. We have sinned and we're going to die. And I've already said, we don't like this story very much. And here in the modern West, you know, we really have started to think, well, that's very passé. You know, that's a passé, an old-fashioned way of thinking about the human story. And we prefer the myth of progress. You know, we tend to think, oh, well, if we can all just learn to think the right ideas, or if we can just elect the right leaders, then we're going to be on track. You know, then we can leave the doom and gloom behind us. That can be a thing of history. Or if we can all learn how to eat the right way, you know, if we can optimize our health, then maybe one day we'll eradicate disease and death. And then, if all else fails, you all here in the West, we've always got Netflix to fall back on, you know what I mean? When the myth of human progress falls flat, we are very good at just changing the channel and distracting ourselves. You know, the human condition is sad, so I'll just watch some TV. But Ash Wednesday offers us another way. It invites us to acknowledge that we can't bootstrap our way out of the human condition, and that we don't have to be afraid to admit that. We can stop anesthetizing ourselves to our frustration and our sadness and our exhaustion. And instead, we can ask for mercy. 7 years ago, my brother died suddenly, about a month after his 21st birthday. It was a traumatic, very sudden loss for my family. I was overwhelmed by grief. And the only way that I could get through those initial weeks after his death was by binge watching The Great British Baking Show. My husband remembers it well. And most grief counselors will tell you that, you know, that's an okay thing to do. Sometimes when you're processing a traumatic loss, you need a little bit of distraction, a little bit of relaxation. But I remember in that time watching hour after hour of Bread Week and thinking to myself, you know, eventually I'm going to run out of episodes. Eventually I'm going to have to turn off the TV and just cry. That's the invitation of Ash Wednesday. End of Lent. It's the invitation to turn off the TV, to turn down all the noise, and to be present to the very hardest parts of the human story. It's to sit with these things about ourselves and about our world that we wish were different, and to grieve those things. Now again, that might sound pretty depressing to you, and it certainly would be if that were the end of the whole thing. Right? It would be crushing, in fact, if all we had was bad news. But today is the beginning of a journey. It begins at the end of ourselves, and it brings us to the mercy and the power of God. Because, of course, our faith is built on the fact that God also entered the human story, didn't he? He immersed himself into us. He took on our flesh, our frailty, and even our fate. He died for us. So Lent begins with a reminder of the death that we deserve, and it ends with the death that Jesus died on our behalf. So in this way, even if you're new to Lent or Ash Wednesday, think of it like this. Lent is really the story of the gospel. It's the story of a God who sees our depravity and who comes to rescue us. Tim Keller put it like this. I'll quote this until the day I die. He said, "When we embrace the message of Christianity, we discover this, that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. But at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope." I'm going to read that one more time. In the gospel, we discover that we are more sinful and flawed than we ever dared believe. But at the same time, that we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. This is what Lent helps us to understand. So don't be afraid to enter into the weight of this season. Don't be afraid to name your sin, because doing that is a way of letting yourself be known. And it's also a way of finally understanding what it really means to be loved. With all of our junk, with all of our brokenness, God has come near. In just a moment, you are going to have an opportunity to do that, to come forward and receive ashes, to get into your costume for the story that we're telling. This isn't, "Hey, look at me, I'm fasting," like Matthew 6 was calling us out. It's saying, "Hey, look at us, this is our story. The story of Lent, the story of humanity, the story of the gospel." And I encourage you, as you come, or as you maybe observe, to just think about the fact that Easter does not make sense without this. Right? We don't make sense without it. We are fallen and we are flawed, and we're going to die. But because of Jesus, who died for us, we also can live again. So come forward, whether you've done this once, twice, 1,000 times. Receive again the sadness of this condition, so that you can understand afresh the power of God's love and his mercy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.